May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You can divide up in the world into many different groups, but some say it comes down to two groups: insiders and outsiders. We've all at one time or another been in both of those positions. Maybe you were one of the popular kids in school, enjoying the adoration and envy of your peers. Maybe you had a lot of power in your career or influence in your family. Being an insider feels good, doesn't it? An outsider, not so good. No one likes to be on the outside looking in, standing alone in the corner at a church social, or being told with the kind of candid honesty that only a fifth grader can muster that you're just too ugly, fat, or stupid to hang out with the beautiful people. Well, the Bible readings we heard and read today offer much encouragement and correction when it comes to outsiders and insiders. That is, of course, encouragement for the outsiders and correction to those insiders who would flaunt that status to hurt others. The book of Proverbs tells us that the rich and the poor have one important thing in common: the Lord is the maker of them all. Now, that might just sound like a nice saying, but it's actually a very powerful claim, especially considering that so often the ways we discriminate against one another as human beings is based on our origins, on where we come from. Whether we're talking about India's still firmly in place caste system, or North American race relations, or simply to ideas of families that come from the right or wrong side of the tracks. But Proverbs tells us that God is the maker of us all, that we have a common source, and that source is stronger than the little divisions we invent and perpetuate. And then from the book of James, we are reminded that while the world continues to judge others based on economic status or outward appearance, God's church is not to play that game, mostly because the call of God's love is bigger than that, but also because we're just not the best judges. Well, I would love to leave it there and say amen and sit down, but we must also contend with the gospel reading. How strange it is that alongside the inclusive messages of Proverbs and James, we are given a story about Jesus, of all people, Jesus, comparing a woman to a dog and saying that he can't give her daughter God's good gifts because, well, she just wasn't born into the right club. We are so bothered by this that interpreters for many centuries have tried to explain what Jesus says here away. I heard one that said that the Greek word for dogs here is actually closer to puppies, and that makes it sound a little nicer. Other people have said that Jesus said this to the woman with a smile on his face and a twinkle in his eye, or even suggested that he and the woman are working together to teach the disciples a lesson, the radical truth that the kingdom would be open to women, Gentiles, indeed all outsiders. Now, I wasn't there, so I can't say there was no smile on his face nor twinkle in his eye, and to be honest, I kind of hope there was. But as the story comes to us both in Mark and in Matthew, there is no effort made to soften his words. And so I think we need to deal with what the Bible says, not with what we imagine or hope it says. And what Jesus said was, it's not right to throw the children's bread to the dogs. Well, having said that, you know, it is dangerous to take what Jesus says here in isolation from everything else he said, because though he may come across as harsh here, we know that his whole life and ministry is undeniably a proclamation of God's love, forgiveness, and healing. So while it's natural to raise our eyebrows at this story, we need not panic about it. It does not change the character of Christ or the nature of God's kingdom. We might also do well to remember that while Jesus comparing a woman to a defiled, unclean dog may shock us, no one in the actual story here is surprised or upset by what Jesus says. I've always thought maybe the dog should be offended. But Jesus is not saying anything here that would surprise a first century crowd, and this includes the woman herself. Jesus was saying what anybody at that time and place would have said. The children meant the people of Israel, and the dogs meant everyone else. The woman was part of everyone else, being of Syrophoenician origin, and in fact, her ancestors were sworn enemies of Jesus' ancestors. She is the ultimate outsider. Why should he help her? In that time and culture, they would answer, he shouldn't. No way. So what Jesus says is maybe shocking to us, but not to the disciples, and certainly not to the woman. She probably expected him to say something like that. And she plays along. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Some of you remember from the Book of Common Prayer, the prayer of humble access. We are not worthy so much as to do what? Gather up the crumbs under thy table. That's where that comes from. So we take it one step further. She says, hey, I am worthy for those crumbs. So this idea of the humility is not new to us in that sense. You know, I really love the woman in this story. My mom tells me she once saw a bumper sticker that said, "Uppity women of the world unite." I'm not sure that this woman was uppity, but she is certainly bold and brave. And Jesus takes notice of her faith. You see, the shocking part of this story is not supposed to be what Jesus said to her, but rather what he does for her. Jesus actually changes his mind and does what the woman asks him to do. Even though she's an outsider, even though as a woman she should not have even started a conversation in public with a man, he heals her daughter. And by doing that, he turns the whole world upside down and outside in. Instead of being shocked or offended at this story, we would do well to rejoice in it, because the day that the gospel went to the dogs was the day the gospel came to us. When we come across different difficult passages of scripture, such as this one, and this one in particular, if we simply get stuck at being insulted that Jesus might insult someone else, we will miss the good news. Look at what the woman did instead. When Jesus says it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, she doesn't storm off. She does not say, "How dare you?" She does not dissolve into a puddle of tears. She hung in there, she persisted, and she was blessed. I understand why this story can be upsetting, and I'm not trying to dismiss that fact. But in the end, if all we bring to this gospel reading is, "How could Jesus be so mean?" we are asking the wrong question. Is it possible that we have become so steeped, so marinated in our culture of rights and freedoms and inclusiveness and tolerance and benefits and entitlements that we now take even the grace of God for granted? Don't misunderstand me. Basic rights and freedoms and tolerance are obviously important, and Christian faith supports and advocates for them. But we need to remember that God's gifts are just that, gifts. And that grace, by definition, is undeserved. And though it's natural to be perhaps confused by today's gospel reading, we lose something important when the shock we take is at Jesus' words rather than at the shock of grace. Well, if the wrong question to ask of this passage is, why did Jesus say what he said, what might be the right question? Well, I believe the best question to ask in response to the story of Jesus and this woman was penned by one of the greatest hymn writers of all time, Charles Wesley. Some of you know these wonderful words. "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued? amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? In just a few moments, we will share the Lord's Supper together. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave so that everyone, outsiders and insiders, could have a place at the table. And my friends, the Lord's table offers far more than crumbs. Because the truth is that God is generous, Christ is kind, and the Spirit is here. That's the shock. That's the good news. Thanks be to God.